You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Eminent Domain, your house could be next to put in a Home Depot. We're going to talk about should they be allowed to do it, and what about the fair compensation, Prop 13 fees. There's a Jim's going to talk about something going down in Anaheim. I just wanted to mention before we got into that about I had this wonderful article that I seem to have lost, but it was about a, I think it was Los Angeles. They bought a furniture store, this huge area, because they wanted to put in an animal shelter. Why that animal shelter had to be right where someone's private business was, I don't know. But they did take his property under eminent domain for the animal shelter. 3 years later, they never built the animal shelter. And then they decide, you know what? We don't even want to put it there. We want to move it a few blocks over, and we're going to sell this to another furniture-type business. And so now, you know, everything has hit the fan. The proverbial fan. So it's happening throughout California. What is this? What is your take on? Because you mentioned earlier that the property 13 Prop 13 tax base in your house, you know, isn't paying for the services. The city is hungry for development and generating money and fees. What's your take on that?
Big problem for every community. The Prop 13 has, you know, it just made a kind of a frozen situation for getting more tax money out of houses. But cities are very creative. I mean, consider what's happening now in many communities. They're finding other ways to raise tax money. And, for example, the fee-based method is, a method that seems to be exploding. Personally, we were adding on a one-bedroom to our house in Goleta. And I have run into an astounding fees for making the addition to our house. But this is this fee-based method of getting around property taxes seems to be quite prevalent in communities. That's one of the big concerns. Creative methods. The article in this that I read this morning that the Santa Barbara News Press published, I think is quite interesting. What they appear to be doing in Anaheim is to have a land value premium added to an area they would like to have developed. Now, I understand what this means is that instead of coercing the homeowner to sell their property at a set price, they're allowed to have a little competition to sell their property to several different businesses in what they call a platinum triangle in the city of Anaheim. I'd really like to know more about this. This seems like a very creative way to do something. I'm very proud.
To incorporate the capitalistic system of free enterprise, competition, fair market value.
Well, you know, the city council for the city of Goleta has done a very positive thing in Old Town. There is a new motel that's going to be built, also with condominiums, in between the Toyota dealership and the place where the community center there. Very creative, actually, what's happening. So I'm very proud of our city and what they're doing. And I think that Old Town Goleta, we'll see more of this, and hopefully that's the direction. Because
without the use of eminent domain,
consider the emotional impact on the homeowner to have to lose their home this way. Totally opposed to this until the last straw has literally been added to the wagon.
Right. And now this hotel, Detlef Peikert was the developer there, and I guess he bailed out. That took a long time to bring that to fruition, but I guess it's finally coming out. I read another article. It was a bunch of people out near Atlantic City. It was oceanfront property, and a bunch of, you know, little old ladies had these little tiny little houses and lived there for like 50 years. And, you know, the city wanted, you know, it was blight. It was a definition of blight. Not enough tax revenue, not pretty enough.
Well, you know, I think basically what has to be done in any community is plan ahead. Let's face it. There are so many things in a community which are needed in the long term as the city grows that we just have to have enough city planning. And that's one thing that's happening I'm very thankful about in Goleta. For example, one of the things that are on my agenda very strongly are libraries. We have an excellent library there on Fairview. The parking lot is a little small, and it's frequently congested, especially when we have an event for children in the community. But it's my personal agenda to have an additional libraries in the city of Goleta. And the time to plan for it is now, before all the development is made in the city.
Yeah, I know that that's been your pet project now for, I know you called in on about a year ago. Are you making headway? Is this?
It'd probably take 10 years to come to pass because there's a lot of undeveloped land in Goleta, and the planning for it will take a long time. But we have a very strong group called the Friends of the Goleta Library, which raises considerable amount of money for the library.
Jim, let me ask you something. We're talking about private property rights. I read in the paper about Ty Warner rehabbing the Coral Casino. Have you read about that?
Absolutely.
Been fighting for years. And, you know, I read about that, and I think I have no qualms with this man remodeling his private club, even though I'm such a traditionalist and I want to hold on to things. For example, I was totally opposed to the courthouse demolishing the original jails. I thought that's a public building. That's history. I thought they could have, done something creative with that. So I didn't like that. But Ty Warner, I think, leave the guy alone. It's a private club. It's private property. He's not changing it into a drive-through McDonald's. It was some historic building. I mean, he was making some changes. How much of a hypocrite am I? Am I? I'm a private property rights advocate, or am I not? I mean, I didn't like the idea of the mall downtown, Paseo Nuevo. I don't know how much, who they had to kick out for that. I refused to go into Paseo Nuevo for 3 years.
Well, it's a mixed bag.
Silent protest.
There's pluses and cons for just about everything. Let's take the Baccaro Resort, which is in Goleta. The same thing. It took, 20 years for it to come to pass and be there. That's an excellent property development and good tax base for the city of Goleta.
Right. And they took away, I guess, some open beach for public access, but they allowed some. I don't know if they took away private homes. I don't think they did, but I don't know that.
No, but you took away some people's, what you might call their exclusive right to go to the beach and use it at any time they wanted to. And there was quite a bit of opposition
Hard
to
fought.
That.
Hard fought.
Absolutely.
But again, I guess just am I hypocritical? It didn't personally impact me. I wasn't really opposed to that.
Well, it's complicated because everybody has different interests, and we have to. It's like it's a mixed bag. I mean, you can't have everything you want. You have to give and take.
You can't have everything. Where would you put it?
You're talking about the ballpark, the Foresters ballpark now. Well, why don't we put it on Bishop Ranch? I mean, that's just down the road from me. I can still walk to the ballpark.
Yeah, what's going to happen with Bishop Ranch? You think that now that's in the city of Goleta, or most of it is, or?
Yes, Bishop Ranch is definitely in the city of Goleta, and there's going to be no question about it. The upcoming election will be kind of interesting because the people who are presently on the city council have very farsighted, and they want a very well-considered development in the city of Goleta, and they don't want things to occur too rapidly. Let's say that Bishop Ranch were on the table, and suddenly the developers came in now. Incidentally, I'm in favor of development. I don't want that to be the question. But if you go too fast, too soon, it's going to affect the entire community, maybe in a negative way. Suppose you put in 2,000 homes suddenly in an area where there are a lot of already existing homes. There will be an effect on property values. There will certainly be a very positive effect on taxation for the community. there will be it's going to be quite a race in a city council this coming November from the people who are on the pros and cons of Bishop Ranch. No question about it.
Yeah. In one fell swoop, they want to put in that amount of inventory. We'll be talking about inventory. We have inventory. We have houses to sell right now. I guess if they want to build the affordable housing, which is a whole nother topic. Talk about this. Well, you know what? Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. I want to hear a little bit about this other case. My guest, Jim Downing, was in Washington, D.C., watching the Supreme Court. You didn't give us any Supreme Court juicy details about these judges. And were you there when the final gavel came down and they said, boom, we decide that we're going to
The process is at the Supreme Court is that the entire argument takes about an hour. There's 30 minutes for each side, and they ask many questions. At this particular time, there were seven judges present. The case primarily I was interested in when I was there was the U.S. Supreme Court case, Hawaii versus Chevron gas station.
All right, now I want to save that for after the break.
All right, in the Kelo case, there were seven justices present. Justice O'Connor presided on that one, and two justices, Rehnquist and Stevens, were absent at the time. And it was a one-hour oral argument. You want me to tell you about basically
Do you have any highlight, any punch, any frosting there on the cake? Where you were watching there and you go, holy moly, I didn't know that was going to happen.
Talked to some of the lawyers afterwards who had an interest in it, and they were kind of depressed because they could tell by the way the questions and the arguments went with the Supreme Court that they weren't going to win their particular side. So, but that's it was quite interesting to sit there with all the guards they had and standing up there.
Did you come away thinking, well, that was fair? I mean, the system worked. People got both sides. Or did you come away, I mean, I know your decision wasn't the way you wanted it to come down, but did you think the system worked?
Without a question, we're very privileged to have been in a country which has the type of a judicial system that we have. I mean, it took, I think, 7 years for this case to get to the Supreme Court. And it went through appeal several appeals. The case was held, and it was appealed, and again appealed to the Supreme Court. And it was well thought out, well planned. Everyone was involved, and hey, I have everything to say for our judicial system.
It would have taken 20 years if it was a death row case. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We're going to come back with Jim Downing. We're going to talk about the other case he saw at the Supreme Court, Hawaii versus Chevron, a rental issue. And also, Jim was owned and rented some apartments in Santa Monica, apparently to some, 9/11 terrorists? Or we'll find out what that's about after the break. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290. Stay tuned. It's 25 minutes to the hour.